And I said, I'm going to flip it on before he yells at me. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that. And it's great to see folks out. And it's always a blessing to see folks faithful to the Lord. Even, you know, on the Friday nights. And back in the day, I used to preach revivals. And we'd go Monday to Sunday. Many times, Monday to Sunday. Sometimes we would go Sunday to Friday. And then, you know, now it kind of has come down. A lot of churches don't even have. Now they have a Sunday revival day, and that's it. That's the revival. And you know, we always used to hear, boy, back in the day, you know, we used to have 3-week-long revivals. Well, I believe that. I mean, there was nothing else to do. Amen. There's nothing else to do back then but go to church. And that probably was good, amen? But now, you know, people are just running around and so many things going on, and they have just decided to put the things of God, you know, not making it a priority. And a lot of times that can be a big mistake for people. And the Lord always ought to have top priority in everything we do, amen? He ought to have the preeminence in our life. And that's important. And I know the Lord will bless you because you've come out to the revival meeting on this Friday night. And so I'm excited about it. And then tomorrow we'll have the meal and another message. And then praise God for Sunday. Amen. Sunday's always a banner day. And I love Sunday. And then we'll have some more messages on that. And God honors the preaching of his word. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And I tell you what, our country used to believe in preaching. And it was the preachers back in the day, I mean, you know, that God used to be the shining example. And to lead the people of God and to do the things that would bring honor and glory to the work of God, beneficial to God, to the things of God. But we've given up that ground. So we need to pray and ask God to help us. I, a few years back heard someone say that the NFL owns the day that the church used to own. I thought, boy, that was terrible. That's terrible that somebody would even think of that or say that. But you think about it, it's come to pass. Amen? It's come to pass. But God is still on the throne. Nothing takes the place of God. And you can think you took the place of God's day, but you haven't. Amen? And because God is still working and still has a plan for his people. Now, I'm going to read some verses out of the book of Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13. And I'm going to preach a message, the way of revival. The way of revival. And also, you might want to entitle it, Not One Hoof. Amen. Not One Hoof. And we'll see that here. In the scriptures. But I want you to notice what the Bible declares here in Exodus chapter 13 and in verse number 7. Now this is God calling Moses to go in and to lead the people of God to that place of worship, that place where he wanted his people to get to in order for them to receive the instruction, the wisdom of God. And so it was a 3 days journey, and that was God's plan. That was God's way. God has a certain way. Amen. He wants things to be done. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when God told Noah to build the ark and gave him the blueprints, there was a way. Amen. There was a way. And so here we find that God had a way for the people of God to go in order for them to recognize the power of God and the promise of God, the plan of God that he had for his children. Exodus chapter number 13, verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. That wasn't God's way. That wasn't the way that God wanted them to go. More kind of in a westerly type direction. And although that was near, and going that way, it was a lot closer, it was a lot flatter, it wasn't as difficult, to go that way, but that was not God's way. That wasn't the way God wanted them to go. God said, let's peradventure, the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. How many people have gone back to Egypt? How many people have gone back to the old ways? Have gone back. Maybe they haven't gone back as far as they once were, but they have taken some steps backwards. God doesn't want us to go backwards. He wants to go forward. He wants to go forward, and if we're to go forward, we've got to go the way of God, the way of the Bible, the way of the church, the way of revival that God has for us. Yes, that might have looked simpler. That might have looked easier to go that way. But God said, I don't want them to go that way, Moses. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, that's where God wants us to go sometimes. We've got to go into the wilderness sometimes to find God. We've got to go through a storm. Amen. To get us to see God, the hand of God, the power of God. When things are easy and things are soft and, things seem to be more pleasant. Many times we forget about the plan of God for our lives. And we're easily detoured. We're easily distracted. And so today you see society, they want to make everything easy. Who's with me? Say amen. We were just talking about that earlier, but Wayne and I were talking about cars, and how they make everything, you know, that the car could practically drive itself. And it is everything, you know, to speak, and the car does whatever you want it to do. One day that's probably, I don't think it's gone that far yet, where you tell the car to turn left and it turns left. You still have to turn the wheel, but easy. Everybody wants things easy. Who's with me? I like things easy, but I don't want that easiness to lull me into a place where I let down my guard and I cause myself to be easily susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Who's with me? Say amen. That's what happens. And God didn't want that to happen to the children of Israel. He didn't want them to even think about going back to Egypt. So he sent them in an easterly type of direction, the way of the wilderness. It was a lot more rugged. It was mountainous. It was rocky. There were valleys and great hills. And it was a lot more difficult to go that way. But that's the way of revival. Amen. God doesn't say it's going to be easy to have revival. God doesn't say it's going to be easy to walk the Christian walk. It's going to be easy, amen, to do the will of God. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. And that's when God says, listen, in your weakness, I will strengthen you to accomplish what I have designated for you to do in your life. And so he said the way of the wilderness, in the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harness out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up the bones away hence with you. So God told Moses, take the children of Israel in an easterly type of direction through the wilderness. Now, we don't like the wilderness in many situations of our life. Amen. But when we know that we are obedient and we're doing exactly what God has called us to do, we have the confidence in knowing that God will sustain us and God will strengthen us to be able to accomplish and get through that difficult time, that difficult type of situation. The way of the wilderness many times is God's way. That's the way of revival. Not the easy way, but God's way. Who's with me? They wanted to go west, but he knew if they went that way and they, you know, had run into some type of situation, it'd be a whole lot easier for them to turn around and come home. That's why back in the old days, back in the early 1900s, those missionaries would go. They'd have to get on a boat, and sometimes it would take them 2 months to get to the mission field. It was hard. It was difficult. But oh, listen, because they're obedient, how many thousands of lives were saved as a result of individuals going God's way, doing the will of God. Now, thank God they can get over there to the mission field today, you know, in about 2 or 3 days, flying in a plane. You can get over there and get to that place. It's a whole lot quicker, a whole lot easier, but at the same time, it's a lot easier to come back home. Who's with me? Say amen. And that's the problem. That's where the rub is. And so when they took the heart of the missionary and buried it in Egypt, in Africa, listen to me, that's exactly where he wanted to be. He didn't want to go back to England. He didn't want to go back to America. He wanted his life buried there on a mission field in serving God. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, there was a great amount of struggle, literally serving God in the wilderness. But oh, listen, that was the way, amen, that God had. And many times that'll be the way for you and I. That'll be the way for the church. And sometimes we'll have to go through these things. And you know, the picture of Egypt, of the Christian coming out of Egypt, is a picture of salvation. Many times we picture it that way. And, you know, coming out of Egypt, coming out of that bondage, coming out of that life of harnessed by those things, those addictions, and we're many times in bondage to those things, in bondage to sin to take us to hell. But praise God, we get saved, and he sets our feet upon a solid rock and brings us out of Egypt. Amen. And that's a picture of salvation. But staying, that's the key, staying out of Egypt, and everything that is related to Egypt is revival. Who's with me? Coming out of Egypt is salvation. Staying out of Egypt is the revived spirit. It's the revived Christian that's not going to allow himself to get caught up in the worldliness that's out there today. The way of revival. I want you to notice 3 things about the way of revival. Notice number 1, it must be confirmed. Who's with me? Say amen. It had to be confirmed, made certain as to a truth. Its accuracy, its validity, its availability. The children of Israel, they were reluctant about allowing Moses to take them out of Egypt. They hit a tremendous amount of opposition when Pharaoh found out about it. What did he say? Well, if they got too much time thinking about God, I'm going to take the straw away from them. They're going to have to spend extra time going out, finding their own straw, but the tally of the bricks shall remain. They still had to meet that quota. And so although there was extra work put down upon the children of Israel, they had to maintain the same amount. And it was devised as a plan by Pharaoh to get those people so busy, so upset with Moses and Aaron, that they won't even want to follow them, I mean across the street, let alone 3 days' journey into the wilderness. And I'm telling you, it's exactly what the devil is doing today. Getting people so busy they forget about God. Getting people so caught up with all sorts of things that's going on out there in society. And people today, they're so busy creeping home. I mean rush hour, creeping home in their tin coffins only to want to get there and cook up a TV dinner and sit in their easy chair watching their big screen TVs on mute while they sit there playing Candy Crush on their telephones. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, what kind of a life is that? And then you knock on their door and say, would you like to come to church? I'm too busy. Who's with me? Say amen. That's the excuse. And so that's exactly. They were reluctant. They were hesitant about wanting. They were blind. They were beat. They were in bondage. But yet they still wanted to stay in Egypt. If you can imagine that. I guess apparently they didn't think that they needed to be delivered. And many times that's where we're at in our society today. We don't think we need church. We don't think we need revival. We don't think we need to read our Bibles every day. We don't think we need to pray every day. Things are okay. Things are fine. Acts 28, 27, the heart of the people waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have their clothes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. Whether you believe it or not, neighbor, our country, our families, our homes, our churches, our young people, our moms and dads, we need God. We need revival, and we need to recognize the way of revival must be confirmed. We're living in the last days, the Laodicean age, and you remember what those people said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind, and naked. Who's with me? And blinded by the wiles of the devil. Revival must be the way of revival. Must be confirmed. And how did God confirm this truth in the life of his people? It was through this persecution, this pain, these plagues. When he manifested his presence in that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of cloud of fire by night, God manifesting himself through those 10 plagues was a confirmation that God didn't want his people to remain in Egypt. He wanted them 3 days' journey to get to Mount Sinai, to get the instruction of God, and to enjoy the blessings of living a Christian life. Amen. Sometimes we go through difficult times. That's God confirming some things. Amen. God will confirm it. And he confirmed it there. Notice what Exodus chapter number 10 and verse number 2. As the people of God were struggling about some things. The Bible says there, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to do it through some things. I'm going to do it through COVID. I'm going to do it through sometimes struggles and battles and difficult times of things that go on. It's God confirming His call, letting us know that He's still on the throne and He has a plan for the people of God. The way of revival must be confirmed. Has God ever confirmed something in your heart? I mean, something that you thought you should do, maybe, but all of a sudden, God confirms it. Amen. In your life. That's what God does. He wants to show Himself strong. He wants to manifest His presence. He wants to cultivate a relationship with His children. He wants you to have the confidence in knowing no matter what happens, I'm going to be there for you. Amen. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Whatsoever we ask, He hears us, so we know that if He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. The way of revival must be confirmed. Secondly, the way of revival must be complete. Who's with me? Complete. And so it's not enough. It's not enough, you know, that you're in church and you're singing hymns and maybe you're serving God in a choir, a bus route. God's not interested in our service. He's more interested in our heart. Does God have our life? Does God have our heart? Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Moses has said to Pharaoh, let my people go. All of the people, the men, the women, the children, the livestock. Oh, listen, Satan is always trying to split up the home. That's the work of the devil. What did Pharaoh say to Moses? Okay, go ahead and take the men. But the women, children, livestock stay behind. And no, that wasn't God's plan. That wasn't God's way of revival. It must be complete. Amen. And so He sends some more plagues, and Pharaoh says, all right, you can take the women, but the children and the livestock stay behind. No, that's not God's way. That Satan's way is division. Have you ever seen a country so divided before in your entire life? The division that's out there, that's of the devil. That's Satan trying to break things up and trying to break up the home, and he's doing it. He got mom out here, dad out here. The kids are left to themselves. What a tragedy. And I know it's a difficult line to walk, but when you walk the way of revival, that way will be confirmed. That way must be complete. Amen. And no more plagues came. Well, what happened? Here comes Pharaoh. Said, all right, you can take your wives, you can take the men, you can take the children, but the livestock stay behind. And what does the Bible say in Exodus chapter 10? And the verse number 26. And notice what the Bible says there in Exodus chapter 10. I've got it written down, but I want you to see it. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not a hoof be left behind. Not one hoof. That's the King James Bible. Amen. That's how descriptive the King James Bible. And that's what Moses said to Pharaoh. Listen, everything's going. Nothing's going to be left behind. Not even a hoof is going to be left behind. That's what God wants. He wants that revival. He wants that life to be complete. Amen. Not just half-hearted Christianity. Not three-quarters Christianity. And not, you know, 7/8 or 99%. God says, I want it all. Who's with me? Say amen. 100%. Not one hoof's going to be left behind. Now, what have you left behind? What do you still got going on in Egypt that's still there, that you're still interested in? Oh, God said, listen, when you leave Egypt, everything goes. Nothing should be left there. You take it all. And God wants us to be wholeheartedly surrender. Know this, neighbor. God does not barter. Amen. God says, no. I'm not talking about half. I'm not talking about three quarters. I'm talking about everything. Everything belongs to God. Our whole life ought to be sold out, dedicated to God. Nothing left for the devil to be able to use against you, to hinder you from being a complete Christian, effectively serving God in every area of your life. This way of revival must be complete. Amen. And confirmed. And the way of revival must be claimed. Who's with me? Say amen. God wants us to claim it. Exodus chapter 14, verse 22. And the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Claim the promise of God with confidence. Set out by faith, amen, to do what God wants you to do. Claim that promise with confidence that God is going to manifest His truth and Himself in showing you the way no matter what stands in the way. The Red Sea was there. And the people didn't know. And God said, all right, I open it up. The rest is up to you. I open it up. The rest is up to you. And what did the people do? They claimed it. They said, let's go. Amen. And they all went across. And they all made it safe to God. Oh, listen, I first surrendered to evangelism full time. Well, I surrendered way back 1982, but when I knew God wanted me to step out by faith and go, I was a staff evangelist at Windsor Hill Baptist Church for Dr. Jim Vineyard. I was working there in a school. I was promoting a college. I was preaching different revivals here and there, but still remaining as one of the staff members, staff evangelists. And then I said, Brother Vineyard, God wants me to step out in full time and go for God. And I sold all my possessions, my furniture and everything. My wife and I sold our car, got all that out of the way. We needed a trailer. We went out and we were able to contract a fifth wheel. And we got the fifth wheel. Now we needed something to pull it with. I went down to this car dealership and I was looking around and I saw a 1991 Chevy one-ton dually extended cab with a 454. Brand new. And I felt like that was the vehicle God wanted me to have. So every night for 7 nights, I went to that place after it shut down, crawled over the fence, went up to that truck, and I walked around it 7 times, you know, like they did in Jericho. And prayed out 7 times, I went home. The next night, I went up there looking around for the guard dogs, jumped the fence, got over there 7 times around that truck. And I did that for 7 nights straight. And I went into the dealership and I said, I'm an evangelist. I believe God wants me to have that truck. And he said, well, here's how much it's going to be. Here's how much the payments are going to be. And you had to put down on that thing $2,000. I said, man, I don't know about that. I said, listen, I can have $2,000 for you in 1 week. He said, all right, right now, write me 2 post-dated checks for $1,000. I wrote him a check for $1,000, post-dated, a week later, wrote him another check for $1,000 postdated for a week later. You know what he did? He handed me the keys to the vehicle. I drove it off the lot. I drove it down to the trailer place where I got my Suburban, and they had to put a hitch in that thing. And they started drilling these massive holes into the bed of that truck. I'm looking at that and saying, Lord, you better come up with that $2,000. You better come up with that money. I mean, I'm already having them drill holes. And they got it all put together. I hooked it up. I drove it back to the house that we were renting, pulled it up in front. My wife came out and said, what in the world? Where did you get that truck? I told her the story. She thought I'd lost my mind. Well, it was the day after that, that God sent us $2,400 in the mail. And I was able to put it into the bank, cover that note. I told my home church up in Rosemont what I was doing. My pastor here, Brother Vineyard, they both said they're going to support me each $100 a month. And then, of course, I had to make payments on that trailer, had to make payments on that truck. And we had that, you know, and we had a trailer and truck, and we were on the road pulling those things for 13 years. And every single month, God confirmed it in my life when he met the needs to pay for that thing. And now 38 years later, I'm still preaching revival. I may not have that truck, I may not have that trailer, but God's still confirming it, and I'm claiming the promise of God. Amen. I claimed it on that day when I walked around that thing seven times on the seventh day. I said, God, I'm claiming your promise, and God came through for me. Who's with me? Say amen. Oh, listen, we need to claim and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world begun. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then we claim it. Will I hear from heaven, heal their land, forgive their sins, and heal their land. We've got to, by faith, claim that promise. Oh, when the children of Israel stepped onto that dry ground to go across the Red Sea on dry ground, it was them letting God know, we're claiming your promise. That was a big step of faith. I mean, there was water on one side, water on the other side. They're going through there. If it was me, I'd have been running as fast as I can to get to the other side. But the fact that they took that step of faith, God honored them. When you have a tough decision, you got to claim the promise of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He giveth to men all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When you're facing a financial need, claim the promise of God. And God will manifest himself. And God, we put Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Claim the promise of God. When you don't sense God's presence, claim the promise of God. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Claim that promise when sometimes God is silent. Amen. And you don't think God's listening. You don't think God's there. You got to claim the promise of God. When you're feeling overwhelmed, claim the promise. For I know thy thoughts that I think, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. Oh, listen, God is in control of that situation. There's no reason for you to feel overwhelmed with it. Amen. Oh, listen, sometimes, you know, life, society, things, it can become overwhelming. But you claim the promise of God, the way of revival. It was confirmed. It was complete. It was claimed. God got them to the promised land. Now, it was at that point that they forgot about God. They didn't claim the promise, and they had to wander for 40 years so God could kill them off. Well, you know, so things would happen, and that's what happened. And they died in the wilderness because they refused to claim complete. And when God confirmed it in their life, they didn't want to accept it. Oh, listen, we need to go the way of revival, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how rough the path may be, no matter how many obstacles stand in our way. Sometimes the way of revival is the wilderness. Amen. But if we just recognize that God confirms those things, we claim those things, and we completely, totally, wholeheartedly yield ourselves to God and claim that promise, we'll have the revival that God wants us to have for His honor, for His glory. Father, thank You for Your love. Thank You for this truth. I pray, Lord, that You help us to recognize that You have a certain way. Although we may not understand it, although we may not believe it, Lord, help us as You confirm those things in our lives. Lord, help us to recognize Your power, Your presence, that You'll never leave us, never forsake us. Help us to have, Lord, the wisdom to claim it. And Lord, help us to have that complete surrender to You in every area of our life, not leaving anything behind in Egypt for the devil to have opportunity to overthrow our faith in God. Help us, Lord, to confess all of our sins completely. Help us, dear God, to trust You wholeheartedly with everything, Lord, and that You have the preeminence, the predominance in our Christian life. Oh God, how we need that revival. Help us, Lord, to be willing to walk that way of revival, not resist it, not rebel against it, not try to regulate some things to ease our conscience. Help us, dear God, to have that desire, to walk the way of revival. God spoke to your heart, give you an opportunity to respond. Let's have everyone stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed, the musical play. God spoke to your heart, come on the first note. Maybe there was something in the message God spoke to you about. You come, don't tarry, don't delay. Right now, do it for the glory of God. Would you come?